There you are.
Hey,
Hi, Ben.
how are you?
How are you?
Hey, Cindy. Doing very well, thank you. On baby watch right now. We're in the final
Oh, you're on baby watch?
weeks.
Great.
Yes.
It's great. Let's see.
There I am.
Hey, Tim.
Oh, I can say good morning. I'm here. So,
There
what are you sitting in
are. I
front
have my Starbucks.
I'm in front of Bart. I'm out in space in supernova land.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good.
Well, it looks like we prepare a little bit. You know, I'm learning the technology and enjoying it. And, you know, everybody's desperate for how do I prospect in this new world, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's, you know, it's amazing. We've got a brand new economy. Well, we don't have a brand new economy. We have an accelerant. We turbocharge the internet economy with this. And you saw that last night with the earnings on PayPal. And you're seeing it obviously with Amazon and Zoom and other things. And they will be, and the question becomes, is this a permanent change or is this temporary? And I think it's a lot more permanent than people think. Not that you won't shop, but you won't want to touch things. So things like PayPal and their ability to pay for something without touching anything will become much more popular. And in the convenience, you know, the convenience of Square and PayPal and other things that allow you to conduct business without, I mean, and shopping at home and bringing food home and home delivery, which was a luxury, right? I mean, who could afford to have somebody deliver groceries to your house? That would be something for the wealthy. Well, that's going to be something for everybody because of, you know, Amazon and the ability to bring costs down. So it's just a really, so how do our financial advisors prospect in this new world? Well, with Zoom. And we were talking about getting a mastermind group together. Everybody's sitting at home wondering what the hell to do. All these CPAs and attorneys and everybody else, they don't know how to prospect. So get your mastermind group together and talk about it. Probably the easiest way I've ever seen to get a mastermind group together, something that people just don't want to bother doing, right? Let's have lunch together, four or five of us. Let's have dinner together, four or five of us. When the hell can you do that? When you're on baby duty, right? I mean, right. good guy, but he's out of commission. What are we going to, he's going to be out of commission then for what? 5 months or something, and we just won't see him in our mastermind group? Or let's do a Zoom and then everybody can get in and talk and share and do the same things. And by God, some idea is going to come up where somebody needs somebody. Somebody knows somebody that needs something that you're going to be able to provide as a financial advisor. So I think it's a really good idea. And, you know, getting in touch with your centers of influence, talking to them consistently through Zoom, through regular telephone calls, identifying your niches, helping your niches, creating a mastermind group around your niches. So there's a good story to tell, and I don't think anybody's telling it. So that's kind of what we've been working on in terms of, We had a webinar on how do you deal, you know, what do you do in a bull market or bear market? The webinar went well. That led to a UBS asking us to do a webinar for them exclusively. And that led to a new client calling and saying, hey, I was working with Brand X coach and I don't like them very much. They're not very helpful. I want to hire Supernova. And so, I mean, you know, so I think it's just being out there in the new media, whether it's a webinar or a Zoom webinar. So that's what we're doing, guys. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe you can share what you're doing.
Rob, I have a follow-up question on that. I have a follow-up question on that because you talk about what we're doing, and a lot of it's the same thing. And so here you got all the wholesalers who find themselves in this new world as well. They're used to going out and seeing people face-to-face every day, right?
Right.
All of a sudden, they can't leave the house, and they're trying to do it through things like Zoom or WebExes or emails or phone calls. And I think they have pockets of success, and then all of a sudden they have periods where, you know, they struggle a little bit. So I think a lot of it becomes, how do you keep them up mentally sometimes when they start to go down a path? Some guys, I mean, we're in a period right now where some people, our business is fantastic, and you got some other people, you know, is one I'm thinking of, who's probably the hardest worker in the division. He's not getting any sales. He's not getting any freebies coming in the door, but yet he's working as his, you know, rear end off. But you start to see that frustration level coming along. How would you handle somebody like that where they're starting to get really frustrated?
Well, we covered the stress part of what you're talking about is frustration, and which results in stress, which results in unhealthy, you know, potentially unhealthy habit or, you know, things going in the wrong direction. So what I would do with him would be to try and create rituals around the experience so that it's not a personal failure. You know, prospecting is still a numbers game. It's a clever game done right. You do better, but I'll take the guy that works from 8 to 8 or 8 to 10 or something compared to the guy that puts in 4 hours and is very clever. The guy that works harder will eventually win.
Yeah.
Now you got to be smart. So I would, I'd do a couple of things. One, I would share with him what other people are doing that are successful and have him try some things that were new, which most guys that are really successful at what they do don't want to do that. They want to keep doing what they're doing. You know, like with RFAs that built their business around seminars at, you know, when their minimum is 5 million, they still want to do seminars. And I'm like, it's not a really good idea. You know, it's a waste of time because, you know, the chances of getting a client with 5 million going to a seminar are probably pretty slim. So they've got to learn new strategies for growing their business. But at the same time, I'd go back and check on his health and well-being. You know, the Jim Lehrer thing, proper amount of sleep, exercise, and diet. What's the, you know, if he's showing stress, is it because he can't go to the gym now and hasn't been working out for a month? And he's not sleeping now because he's not working out. And there he's eating and he's, you know, he's into the cocktail at 5 o'clock instead of, you know, by himself or, you know. So frankly, I would look at those things and kind of do a recheck of are we really being a corporate athlete and taking care of ourselves and recovering in this stressful environment, or are we getting out of our rituals because we can't go to the gym? know, we changed all our rituals. So I think it's a good chance to take a checkup. You know, we always say a checkup from the neck up, but a checkup from the neck down is just as important, right?
Yeah.
So
Rob, is there?
Yeah. So
sorry to interrupt. Is there a point where you just say the juice isn't worth the squeeze on the prospecting front right now? So, and I'm thinking, I got a couple guys like Tim who are, they're new to their territory. They're trying to send emails to advisors who are getting 400 emails a day now and just leading them.
Right.
So these guys are hardworking guys. They're putting in 8 hours, but the hours 2 through 8 might generate a single lead for them.
Yeah.
It's just demoralizing where you just say, I almost want to say, stop working so hard. You can't move the needle right now. So don't drive yourself insane.
I would say put some more time into, this is your chance to learn Supernova. Okay. This is your chance to take a Supernova class. This is the chance to get your SEMA. This is your chance, right?
Yeah.
That's what my guy's actually doing, is he's working on his SEMA right now.
Yeah. So I think that's really smart. The question is, I mean, look at the market, right? We're almost, it's up 278. It's like, it's almost, we're back, right? I mean, if you're on the NASDAQ, you're up. My daughter, I invested basically a FANG portfolio for her, a few different things. She was up 12%. She was down 12%, or maybe she was down more, who knows. You know, she was down like 26% from the top down. And now she's up 2.5% for the year. Yeah. Okay.
So you get down with the Supernova stuff, you should run money, Rob. That's I can sell that story.
So she's so we're back. You know, we're not out of seclusion, but from an investment point of view, it's like, you know, are we in a bull market or a bear market? I'm sorry, we were in a bear market, qualified, real deal. Mm-hmm. We're now in a bull market, real deal, qualify all the, you know, definitions. Are we in a recession? Heck yeah, we're in a recession. But you can be in a bull market in the middle of a recession. Nobody ever said you had to be in an expansion to be in a bull market. In 1974, we were in a recession for a long time. And the market kept going up and nobody could figure out why. Just because it was looking out the other end. And so from an optimistic viewpoint of the world, this market's saying, hey, everything's going to be fine. So you're, you know, from a point of view of where am I going to be when I come out of this? Am I going to be right where I am, having done nothing during this time? Or am I going to have picked up 2 or 3 great new clients and got my SEMA and got myself in the best physical condition I've been in years? You know, so that to me is the way I would frame this, as an opportunity to really focus in on your personal development, your physical conditioning, so that your mental conditioning can be tough. And learn some new technology skills. You know, let's embrace them. Let's embrace this world. I mean, people are hesitant to do it, but me, you know, I'm 74. What the hell? But I don't care. I think it's fun.
So, Rob, have you found in your own coaching with advisors, where you maybe did it via conference calls, are you going to start doing it more on Zoom like this?
I'm doing all Zoom now.
Yeah, okay.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
We just went to Zoom. So when people say, well, Zoom, that's a crazy stock. It's creating at, you know, stupid prices. No. It's like Teladoc. You know, people say, that's stupid. That's a crazy price. No. It's like Amazon. I mean, these things are now going to be permanent. Now, will you want to go to the doctor? Of course you do. I mean, you got to go for certain to, for him to see you when he physically has to touch you. But other than that, a checkup, you know, getting your prescription updated, you know, a Zoom works great. I've done a couple of basically teledoc Zoom. They work fine. You know, I need to see my doctor here today, but I don't know if he's going to be all packaged up in a little prophylactic tube or he's going to be.
but it's funny how you talk about the world changing. I had to do a doctor visit and we did it over the telephone back in March and it got rejected by our insurance company initially. It was over the phone and then you call up and you talk to them. By that point, I think a lot of it had been happening. So even our insurance company wound up changing and adapting to it.
Yeah. Well, they have to. I mean, they have
to. It's the new world.
My doc buddy I ride with, he said I was on the phone from 8 o'clock till like 7 o'clock. I said, how many calls did you make? He said, I have no idea. It was a lot.
Wow. And he said, hey, Rob. Oh, there's Mary.
By the way, I said, do you get paid for those? He said, absolutely, everyone.
Yeah.
So maybe they make more money.
Probably will.
You know? Yeah. Is that Mary or?
I'm here. It's Yay. The homeschooler.
How are you?
Look at you. Oh, good. Three.
Bright and cheery at 8
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I get up early and I had some tennis elbows, so I've been taking prednisone. So I'm pretty sure I've been up for like, I don't know, a month now.
Oh, prednisone, that's a powerful drug.
That is not something type A people need to take ever. I'm just going to tell you. And especially not when you're quarantined with your family, they all hate me. But anyway.
I had the pleasure of taking some of that from time to time. And it's kind of a good emergency drug for, but you gotta wean yourself off of it.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
I'm on my way back down. Thank goodness. So for everybody.
Uppers and downers. And,
uppers and downers.
Right.
Yeah, we were talking about the new world and adjusting to the new world, and I think it was. It's pretty good, you know, pretty good conversation where, you know, how do you handle FA? In my world, I had a lot of FAs just outright cancel. It's really interesting who cancels because they just can't see Supernova in this world or my practice is so chaotic I can't do it. And in the middle of it, John Cummings, of course, has a call completely at home. Everything's working awesome. He's killed it. He's bringing in more new money. He's just operating. He said, I'm not going to go back to work. He said, I love this. I get so much done.
Mm-hmm.
Just so, you know, the guys that are in Supernova for a long time are there. I just had another call yesterday. And it was amazing. I mean, it's just like, thank God. Abe Horowitz, he just changed firms. And he said, Rob, just thank you a million again for Supernova because, you know, it's just allowed me to have rituals and calls and my clients are trained and I brought 95% of my practice with me when I moved. And so, you know, life is good. It would have been terrible. You know, with 300 clients and chaos and moving and all that. Anyway.
So I was thinking about this morning, one of my 4 a.m. epiphanies. Andy Saperstein, who we all heard speak, and I don't know why, I connect with him as a human, but I tend to, what he says tends to resonate with me. Like, I just think he's fun. You could have a beer with him. Oh, that's Ben's giving me the look. But you know what I mean? Like, he's just a real individual. He's almost like a blue-collar person who ended up in a Wall Street job, and I don't know why. There's some incongruency there that I like about him, and he's really sage, but he's not full of himself. So anyway, it's a sidebar. But I was thinking about there was an article with him and Sterling Shea in Barron's where he was interviewing Chris Davis, and he was talking about how most of the returns for clients are made during a bear market, right? What we always preach, active management, protecting on the downside, and all of that good stuff. So I was thinking, I wonder if you kind of could do like a tale of two cities where you had John coming and you talked about why some, how your practice, the majority of the growth in your practice happens in a bear market or in an anomalous market. It doesn't have to be a bear market per se, but you could really show like sort of the dichotomy of this person who does nothing and this person who then had time in their day, who followed the rituals, who didn't say, wow, when all this is finished, I'm going to jump back on this train of working on my practice. Like why that became so important in the same way it's important for a clients to stay invested and not miss when the bottom of the market's trailing around or, you know, like when we're still dipping down. And I say that because we had a call with, we've been working with this guy from UBS for, I don't know how long, Ben, like 6 or 8 months, just to help him transition to advisory because he's so all transactional. And he had a golden opportunity when he called to buy individual equities and to do things on the dip to say, I'm going to talk to you about two things. The first is, you know, what I think is a good buying opportunity because you have some cash. But the second thing is more holistic. And he missed that whole second thing because, which was transition to advisory, changing the nature of our relationship, what that means to you and what I offer, because he just wasn't comfortable. And his answer was, no, I've got to get through this first. So I didn't know if there was some merit in having a webinar for you for advisors to understand why that's so important, and maybe something we could tack on to with you, because as we're talking to centers of influence and things, even Morgan, Raymond James, other places, they're all saying, yeah, practice management's really important to us, but then every time we offer them something that's a, you know, webinar or a conversation or a presentation virtually on that topic, they come back and go, okay, but do you have something on portfolio construction today? Like, we really want to talk about that. Like, they keep going back to that side of their business. So I just thought it might be a good way to jumpstart something.
I think when we did our first webinar, we had 170 people on it, which was the most we ever had. It'll be interesting to see. Cindy, how many did we have on the second one with Curtis and I?
75.
And that was
75
just
on. We had 200 people, that signed up.
And that was that just UBS?
No, that was everybody.
Okay. So did, what am I thinking of? Did we do one for Morgan Stanley or UBS or nobody or?
We did a UBS call for UBS. It was just for their advisors, and it's on their system, and anybody can watch it that is with UBS.
And how many did we have on that? Any idea?
It's on there all the time. It's on demand, so people can watch it whenever they want. I haven't heard back from UBS as to how many were there.
Why don't you check on that? I'm just interested in the volume as we do these.
Okay.
Is the volume staying steady or is it going down because people are getting so busy? They're getting more used to this world. I mean, you almost have to strike when they're in chaos. When they're desperate for any answers because nobody's really giving them answers. And as they get more into their rituals, then they have less time and they don't want to, you know, they don't want to follow. They don't want to answer.
I think we're starting to see it too. I mean, we went through the same thing where every active engagement we had canceled for 3 or 4 weeks. Now I'm starting to see green shoots in our division, at least, where people are either re-engaging or open to engagement going forward. So I hope we're past the darkest part of the night.
Yeah.
It was lean there for a while. They just did not want to, they didn't want to talk about anything, nonetheless, practice management, which Mary's point, you'd think would be the ideal time.
Well, that's what I said. Wouldn't it be nice to come out of it? right. with the whole supernova practice all organized. But the problem was they threw them out of their offices, locked the doors, left their folders there, and then said, you know, you can't go. But yeah. what I found was the guys that were using Salesforce said, oh, no, we're fine. Because Salesforce allows us to be efficient, have our folders, basically, you know, communicate. Everything is just the same. We don't have our physical folders, but we're everything we use Salesforce for to communicate with each other and make sure we get jobs done, et cetera. So,
yeah,
you know, the teams have been doing Supernova a long time. They're fine.
I've had a few calls with COIs the past week, and I've tried to just create a catalyst in saying, you will never have this opportunity again where you're past the initial panic where everybody's calling your advisor, they have no time. Right. And before your advisor actually allowed to be interrupted by these people in person. And this tiny window here that will probably never exist again where they have time to do this. Wait 2 weeks to start. Like, we have to start tomorrow and get this thing going. TBD how that works.
I agree with you completely. I think I'm
blowing smoke. I think it's a real, that's reality.
Yeah, right.
I think everybody, think about it, right? Everybody's at home. I mean, it's unique in the history of our country. Everybody's at home. And so they do have time. You know, they may want to work 24/7, but they're working at 8 o'clock at night and they're working at 6 o'clock in the morning and they're working at, but they're taking off at noon for an hour walk with their spouse, you know? So it's, you know, cover my calls. I'm going for a walk. I'm going to go work out. So it's kind of unique, in the sense that it's going to make permanent change. I mean, when you say, think about it, guys, when you say, to a group of financial advisors, if you go back into the office, you're going to be fired. That's what they said to them at Morgan Stanley. Now, I turn around and say, hey, I want to work 2 days a week at home.
Now what? So Amy told me yesterday that...
You made me do it before. Now you won't let me do it? Come on. Right?
Yeah, I think it will change that for sure. And she said that now that employees can say if they want to come back or work from home, they're given the option. I don't know for what period of time. And it's mostly like the entire staff, because I think the liability to them is so great. What if you come back and you're ill, or, you know, or you get someone else ill, or you take that home? So.
Right.
Yeah. Thing we found too, hearing from some advisors, bigger advisors, is that once they got acclimated into this working from home, that they actually have more time than they thought they would. Take away some of that office talking and all of that. They have more time. So when it comes to the practice management or some of those things, they probably do have the time now, as opposed to when they get back into the offices and all that rat race begins again. That'll be an easy excuse for them not to do it.
It's really interesting. Mm-hmm. How much time they actually have, and who, what do they have time for? It's just calling clients.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of hours put into client contact is probably exponential from what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them know how to prospect. They have no clue what to do prospecting wise. And my attitude,
no.
What I said, Mary, before was basically, take our 7 strategies for acquiring new business and just lay them on top of this new technology and see what you can do. And I think you can do it. I think you can clearly use VIPSA. You can ask for introductions using Bill Cates' model better than when you're doing it on the phone. I always said to wait to ask for personal introductions for your in-person meetings. Well, this is our in-person meeting, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't you now, when you were smart enough to rebalance, you know, when things were rich, and then rebalance again when things were cheap, you look like a genius, right? So why would, you know, why wouldn't you ask for their assistance in finding someone else that would value what it is that we're doing? So.
And you kind of, you cut out the middleman there because you're eliminating a step in the process. The first step is, you know, I reach out to Cindy and Cindy and I start to form a relationship. And then I have that phone call with Cindy and then there's, you know, it keeps kicking the can down the road. And eventually we have an in-person meeting. You can shorten that experience by going straight to a video conference, which is going to increase your trust and all of that good stuff and your connection. So I think you could say you could say 6.5 steps to acquisition, not 7, right? And just talk about the timeline shortens, which would be kind of funny. So
I think it's a great idea. It's a brilliant idea. Yeah, you really shorten the timeline.
Mm-hmm. And Bill Cates was doing some webinars. He reached out to us at one point asking if we wanted to participate in something with him. So I know you and Bill are friends. So I don't know if there's any merit in just connecting there just from an intellectual standpoint, but you might want to.
Cindy, we just reconnected with him. What's the status there? You're on mute, Cindy.
He sent us some information about licensing and putting together a corporate contract.
Yeah, but I mean, have we done anything regarding introductions or using webinars for introductions, or has he done something that we should watch? Or
yeah, he had a webinar here a couple weeks ago that was really good.
Did you hear it?
Yeah, you could. I can send it to you.
I should listen to it. I'm really bad about wanting
so
to take time on webinars like everybody else, but all you need is one good one, right, to give you an idea. And you're like, then you run with it. And for me, I was really stuck mentally. What the hell do I do? How do I teach my guys how to acquire business in this thing? And then I just started to teach it, you know, say, hey, why don't we try it with Zoom? And all of a sudden it went poof. I think it's a, you know, so you got to kind of open your brain to new things.
Yeah, I use that Adam Grant quote a lot lately, and I thank you for you and what is his name in New York, who I liked so much, Raul, turning me on to Adam Grant. But it's that whole, it's during periods like this, it's not the ones who are innovators aren't the ones who have just the best ideas. It's just the ones who have the most ideas, and some of them work and some of them don't. And so it's the proliferation of that that yields results. And so I try to remember, if we try it and it doesn't work, fine, we'll just try something else. Let's keep going.
So now, just to bring you guys, this is a little side note, but it has to do with your company. I got together with Steve Long and Andy Reese yesterday, and we did a webinar, and they're both interested in having a relationship with Supernova and developing our businesses together. So we've sent them our agreement on how that would be. They'd be independent contractors, and we would train them similar to the way we've trained you guys. Their training would be more in depth because they'd be full. Basically, this is what they want to do, is teach Supernova. So I don't know how that fits with you guys, but you all know them well. And I think they're well respected in your industry. And, you know, I think it'd be a nice direction for us to go. Anyway, they're both in the exact right position to need something like Supernova and a coaching opportunity. And they're both creative and fun, and so it seemed like a good match. Any comments from you guys on them or that opportunity?
I think it's great. I mean, I know Andy not as well as I know Steve, obviously. And I know Andy's really respected. He's over on the annuity side or has retired now. And I know they've been friends for a long time or colleagues. But Steve Long was my mentor, so I'm sitting in a management position primarily because of him. And so I think what Steve's really good at doing is identifying what he's a great player coach, really good at identifying what people need in order to move forward. And I think he's pretty intuitive and he can hold people's feet to the fire. So I think this is where he will shine. And I think it's a really natural spot for him. I don't know what you two think, but.
No, I agree. I talked to him a few weeks ago and he had brought it up and I told him I thought it was a great idea. We've gotten so much out of it. I think he'll be great in that spot.
I don't know Andy, but yeah, I could, from what I know of Steve, I never reported to him, but I could see him in that role.
Andy's a little more assertive, a little more on the management side. And I think he might be helpful. You know, in the leadership side of Supernova, he seems very assertive, very confident, and you know, very experienced. I mean, these guys have been
Oh yeah.
I mean, you know, I felt like a puppy compared to them in terms of diversity of experience. You know, I was with the Navy and then Merrill Lynch, you know, that was it. And it was very insular. We were Merrill Lynch was the only place you could work or ever thought about working. And, you know, these guys are like, they know the entire life insurance, annuity, mutual fund industry and kind of everybody in it. And so for me, after graduating from Merrill Lynch, my eyes kind of opened up that there are other firms out there and there are also nice and good people in other firms. I was like, wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And now today, everyone has moved around. They're all so commingled. It's just one big homogenized industry. But Steve's great. He has some really amazing stories. In fact, I didn't know this until when Steve retired, but I think Graz used to be in some weird capacity Steve's internal one day. Steve Graziano used to be Steve Long's internal at Pioneer or something weird. Remember? Not internal, but he had some subordinate relationship with him. I never knew that until he said that. Do you remember that, Tim?
Yeah, I remember hearing something about that. I don't know the exact relationship, but yeah, it's like Long or something.
Yeah, I don't know. But I know Steve Long used to be a hard ass, Rob. Like everybody would fire people instantly. And we got the kinder, gentler version of him, the post 50 mellow version of Steve, which was awesome. So he's a great guy. You'll enjoy him. And I think he'll do really well and he'll resonate well with advisors for sure. So that's good. Well, I'm happy for you guys.
They're both good friends with Graz. They think Andy particularly, I think, says he talks to him all the time. So. Yeah. Whatever, I think it does nothing but enhance our relationship and
sure.
Maybe gives us some leverage going forward and more credibility. I don't know. We'll see. But it'll be fun training them. They'll bring a lot. You know, I think the hardest thing for somebody coming, I think the advantage with these two guys is they've never, quote, really had their own consulting company and now want to use Supernova as a stepping stone to launch their own consulting company. These guys aren't interested in that. So I don't think they're going to have the conflict with my stuff is better than your stuff. You know.
Well, I know Steve Long. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I get that. You know, like, yeah, I understand you teach Supernova and that's good, but I want to do this instead of that. And I'm like, well, no, that's not what we do. We teach Supernova. But bring your own wealth of experience and stories to each of the strategies. And heck, if they've got a better strategy for acquisition or a variation on it, God bless. That's how Supernova got where it is. It's a series of best practices, not worst practices. So we don't keep any practice that doesn't work. And every practice gets better incrementally by the input of the people that are really using it in the anecdotal evidence we develop. And that's where, theoretically, down the road, guys, we can desperately use you for anecdotal evidence of, wow, we used this mastermind group idea, Rob, and this worked better than this, you know, or they wanted to try this. And I said, what the heck, go for it. And, you know, it's like using Zoom for mastermind groups. You know, why not? Using this Zoom for niches, develop your center of influence inside a niche. So I think there's a lot of exciting things that we can do with Zoom. And we just can't be afraid to pick up the phone and ask for an appointment and do it. And off, you know, I think maybe we're in the world of 10-minute Zoom meetings or 15-minute Zoom meetings rather than an hour or 45 minutes. What do you think? I mean, once you get on, it's fine, but just the idea of getting on for 40, like me sitting here thinking about listening to Bill Gates for 45 minutes is, I would love it.
It's too much.
Once I get on, I'd love it, but oh God, you know.
We try to keep all of ours under 30 at least when they're like value add, just because people tune out.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, everybody's sending me economic Zoom meetings or whatever, and I just like, no thanks, you know.
It's too long.
So any updates from the company? Are they still in the bunker mode, or are you hearing?
Touchstone, we're just trying to engage with people in a way that's live. So from the sales side of what we're doing, and we're sort of disconnected, if you guys have comments, but I feel like we're a little bit disconnected from our parent company right now. Their initiatives are about, I mean, think about it, super low interest rates, having a life insurance and an annuity side of what they do. And so they're really concerned about that. We're bringing in revenue. I mean, we're being sort of left alone, I think, in that capacity. I do think they're thinking about what the structure of our overall organization looks like in the future. So those things are sort of separate to us. On our side in sales, we're working really hard, the three of us, to help our RVPs come up with a way to have a live engagement with an advisor to be able to move them forward on either the product or the practice side, and then to subsequently load our pipeline with opportunities as well. Because even though advisors might be complacent in growth, we cannot afford to be, and we know that that lead time is much longer than we would like it to be in most cases. So we're rolling fine for now, and we're starting to have some success in building that sort of journey for them, but we're early on there. You guys feel differently?
No, right on.
I think one thing that's helped us too, Rob, is business has been really, really good, and you know, from a sales perspective. And you think of the opposite side of that, if we'd gone into this and business was terrible, that we didn't have assets coming in, I think we'd be feeling a lot different today than we do. But from our standpoint, it's allowed to do, you know, the right activities under the conditions we live in. And I just hope that we continue to screen out well and business continues to flow in. Maybe not to the extent it has, but if it can remain strong, I think that keeps everybody in a pretty solid mood.
Well, the good news is the firm is not spending any money on anything, right? Except for you guys. The job security is good. Also, the fact that they have money. And if we come up with a good plan on how to spend that money, theoretically, they might do it. Now, the home, like you said, when the home office is looking for every way they can save a nickel, they'll be pulling back money from you guys. That's hard because you work so hard to get your allocation and then you lose it because they've got a mathematical formula that they can't make work, and they're not willing to take risks of going into equities. So, you know, with annuities, so they're like, oh God, what are we going to do? So they're in a panic to save money, and they suck money out of the profitable division.
That's the nail on the head right there.
It's on the horizon.
That's the problem with being owned by, you know, a big, rich company. you know, versus when we were Merrill Lynch, all the money went to Merrill Lynch. But when you're a bank, the bank gets priority and Merrill Lynch, you know, is a nice revenue source. So it's, you know, good news, bad news. You got the big safe guy taking care of you when things get bad, but at the same time, you are not autonomous and don't have the ability to spend when you are generating excess capital. So I understand. Okay.
Exactly right.
We're over time, but I appreciate the time and.
Okay. So I'm sorry. I missed the last few with these ultrasounds. I finally got her on a Wednesday schedule. So I'm back now. Let her know where the priorities were. I understand you got an ultrasound, but I got a Zoom call with Rob.
I'm sure she agreed with that all the way.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yes.
Well, Cindy, Rob, awesome. Good seeing you guys again.
You too. Thanks. And Cindy, I'll let you know. I saw the email back from Ebony, so I guess we're just in a holding pattern. I think that speaks to. Yeah, so, okay, well, as soon as I hear, I will let you know. All right, thank you so much, guys. Have a great one.
Everyone.
Bye, Bennington.
Yep, see ya.
See ya.
Bye.